Classic gun, Brian Petrie, giving out the lock. One is mortal, you know it won't miss. Gonna take a shot. Dog lock, that's the underdog. Yeah, they in the hunt. Send them home, that's KO or submission. Yeah, somebody done. Slime ball, yeah, that's the parlay. We gon' make it known. Pick 'em pod from MMA tapes. Yeah, let's get it gone.
Let's go.
Let's go, baby. We back, man. Hey, we back, bro. Hey, what's up, man? Some guy said I act childish in the beginning of the show. Maybe he's right, but what's up with the what's up, man? I am excited to do this one. Last week, listen, I was going to do a Wednesday Takes last week. A lot to talk about personally, whatever, blabbing on about all the fight announcements, everything like that. A lot of meat on the bone to talk about. And I never get burnt out of doing this. I love doing this. I do this for free. As a matter of fact, at this point, I don't think I pay to do this anymore, but I would do it for free. And I was going to do a Wednesday Takes, something like that. And I was like, you know what? You get a rare week off. I remember Anis going, I bet you're excited to get a week off. You don't have to make picks. You don't have to do this. I'm a routine guy. I like the fucking routine. Keep me going. Keep me picking. Come Saturday, your boy's lonely with no fights. But last week, I decided, you know what? I'm going to clean the palate. I'm not going to tape study. I'm not going to watch fight. I watched the Contender Series. Last Tuesday was probably the best Contender Series episode ever. Pacheco and Silva, probably the best Contender Series fight there was. In my opinion, eclipsing Sadiq Yusuf and Mike Davis, for sure. Unreal. All the fights were sick. But besides that, I'm like, I'm going to clean the palate. Play a little video games last week. Added a little sound bites to the board, just one really. My wife got me this fucking dope shirt. I mean, what's more of a shirt than, you look at that, Slime Time with Slimer on it? That is burnt to my throat? I should have made this one, but man, it fits like a glove. I love it, Kim, the other day. But I need to cleanse a palate. And I'm not good about taking time off. I'm not good about taking a break, especially something like this that I'm obsessed with. Bengals are shit. Can't look forward to them. You know what I mean? Even though I watch them no matter what. But it was nice to kind of just like, you know, I went to bed early. Didn't overthink about fights. I'm still on Twitter. I'm still seeing all the fight announcements. I mean, Jiří versus Alex Pereira fucking got my dick just jumping out of my pants. Unbelievable fight. But like, I was just kind of chilling, you know, like it was a mental vacation. Come Friday of last week, though, your boy is like, okay. I got to get back in it, printing off the sheet for this week. Obviously, usually with the Anakin Florian, we record on Sunday or Monday. We recorded on Sunday this week, so it was like I jumped right back into that, man. But, man, after doing that show, I was fucking geared up, ready to go, ready to talk to my guys. I can't put the show out super early because I do props, and I like the props, Green Hammer, all that stuff. But, yeah, so we're here Wednesday. Hopefully, I can get this out Wednesday night. It's a little late Wednesday. I gotta go bring my fucking car. Quick complaint before we get to the fights. When did people or companies just decide that their online stuff doesn't work, right? So my wife got rear-ended back in August, right, on the highway. It was like a four-car rear-end. She didn't rear-end the person in front of us. We're completely not responsible. She got rear-ended. Thankfully, she's okay. She was in my truck, my old Honda Ridgeline, which a lot of people were very upset when I showed my car on Instagram and I drive a Honda Ridgeline. Go fuck yourself. It's a dope car. I know people are very, they're like, it's not a truck. But anyway, bumper all messed up. You know, nothing horrible damage. Still very drivable. And I've never been, every accident I've ever been in my personal life, obviously I wasn't involved in this, but we do have same insurance policy. It's been my fault. So my insurance is just taken care of. I haven't really done anything. Anyway, trying to deal with this has just been a pain in the fucking ass. You got all these other insurance companies calling you that were involved in it. We're not responsible for this and that, blah, blah, blah. My insurance company's like, hey, you got to pay $500 deductible. I'm like, why the fuck am I paying that? I didn't fucking do anything. What the? Like, well, if you want to get it done, you got to pay it. We'll cover all the fees. We'll pay you back. Yeah, yeah. So I don't want to do that. So eventually I had to do that because the lady at Allstate was a complete fucking dick. And, you know, we couldn't get it done. I wanted to get my truck fixed, whatever. So that's tomorrow. So when I get off here, I got to go clean that car out, you know, get the condoms out of there, you know, the dong bags. You know what I mean? I'm just kidding. I haven't used a condom in fucking 20 years. But anyway, so that's tomorrow. But I book, like months ago, I got new tires. I booked everything online. I show up at Tires Discounter. I was like, yeah, probably should have just called us. Our online system doesn't work. They had no history of me paying. They had no history of anything online. I'm sitting there. I got to sit in the store for 3 fucking hours so they can fit me in. Same thing. I get an email. My insurance company sets up a rental car service with Enterprise. They email me and they say, hey, fill out this form, this passport, whatever. Put my fucking license ID, what kind of car I want. My insurance is saying you can afford this kind of car for this amount of days. I did everything, right? That's tomorrow. And I was told by the body shop that they're going to drop the car off there tomorrow. So I told them what time, blah, blah, blah. So I call them today when I get off work just to confirm, right? I don't want to be on the phone with somebody, but just to confirm. And they're like, oh, we have no history of this. You know, very nice guy I talked to. We have no history of this. And I went, but yeah, but I mean, you guys emailed me and it was like, you emailed me actually twice. And it kept saying, yeah, hit this button to pre-register and do all this, do everything online. They're like, yeah, our online's very finicky. Let's just do it over the phone. So I had to do the whole fucking thing over the phone and they don't pick up. So now what's going to happen? I'm going to drop my car off there tomorrow and then they're going to come pick me up. And then I got to drive with somebody, which is I'm not really wanting to do. I don't like being a passenger car, if I'm being honest with you. Drive someone to the enterprise that they're from and then do paperwork there and shit like that. But that's just a hassle, man. I don't fucking feel like dealing with it. But, you know, life is life. Wife is okay. So we're going to get it done. Second thing, quick update on the boxing robot. I was this close to returning it, right? They said to me, blah, blah, blah. We'll get it to the end of the month. The end of the month come and gone. I know we're in the beginning of October here, but I'm like, I'm done. I'm done. I'm wake up to an email. And it was like shipping information for the RX1 or whatever the fuck it's called. It's like, oh, sweet. I'm like waking up 5 in the morning thinking like, oh, shit, they shipped it, right? Go brush my teeth, get my uniform on, look at the fucking phone. And it was like, hey, we're shipping the first 25 orders. So if your orders goes from 0 to 25, you're getting your shipment now. I'm order 69. Of course your bro is 69, but a little filthy dog. But the first next 50 are going to be shipped out. So they're shipping out the first 25 this week. Next 50, October 12th, which I believe is sometime next week. Next Thursday? Yeah, next Thursday. So we'll see. Because if I don't get it shipped next week, your boy's done. I'm done. Give my $700 back. Give my $700 back. All right. Well, I mean, I could go on and on and on about talking about God knows what. But guess what? Let's get into the fight, man. Let's get to the meat and potatoes. This fight card, I mean, listen, it's not making your, you know, dick jump out of your pants or anything like that. But I think there's some solid fights on here. There's some fun fights on here. And the fact that we're off last week and we got a fucking run in October with the pay-per-view in Abu Dhabi. Then we're spilling to Madison Square Garden in November. And then the card that they're still finalizing in December. I mean, we got bangers on top of bangers. So this is a nice palate. You know, this is a little hors d'oeuvres. You know, this is cheese and crackers, this card. I think it's going to be good. It's like, I fill you up, but it's going to be good. First fight, Montella De La Rosa. I love saying her name. She is a minus 122 favorite. She is fighting J.J. Aldrich, who is 12-6. J.J. Aldrich? Did I say Aldrich? Aldridge? I don't know why I said a record. I don't ever say records. What's going on? I'm rusty. Let's get together. We're together. Plus 102 for J.J. Both these girls like have identical same records. They fight a little bit differently. JJ's more of a boxer. I thought she would improve more with training of Rose, but it doesn't look like Rose is spending a whole lot of time in the gym. Maybe she is. Maybe that's a wrong assessment by me. I just know Rose is like always kind of one foot in, one foot out. You know, is she training? Is she not training? Does she love it? Does she hate it? Either way, I don't know if JJ is still with her out there in Colorado or not, but I always thought JJ was going to turn her corner because I think her boxing is nice. She does have some good toughness and cardio on her. However, takedown defense is absolute dog shit, right? It's not great. She gives up takedowns. Montella De La Rosa, tough girl, hard to finish, is very good at takedowns, is a good grappler here. I think this is a really good matchup for her. And you know your boy knows chicks, right? You know chicks. Last week, 2 weeks ago, I didn't know chicks, okay? I have reasserted to myself to knowing chicks. You know, you can just take one look at me, this shirt, and go, that guy fucking knows chicks. Give me Montella De La Rosa. Minus 122 is a low price. I'm willing to pay it here. She's got to grapple, though. She can't go in there and be like, ah, shit, I'm going to give up on, like, I'm going to take her, try to take JJ down three or four times. Oh, if that doesn't work, let me fucking just give up on it. No, you got to pursue the grappling. You got to hammer the grappling, and I think you're going to do wonders in this fight. And I think she knows that. I think she needs a win here. I like her just stylistically on this fight. I was surprised we're getting Minus money on Montana De La Rosa because she's fought everyone in the UFC, but it's not like she has great wins. JJ's the same way. They're very similar fighters, just different styles. Similar records, similar people they fought, but give me Montana De La Rosa just because I love saying her name as well. All right, next up, Johnny Munoz Jr. The card has jumped on me here. Minus 105 versus the scariest man, in my opinion. This guy's soundbite is terrifying. Oletre Long, the Mongolian murderer. I mean, do yourself a favor and find this guy's soundbite. I should have had Heidi sent it to me and put it in here because this guy is just nasty with it, man. Oletre Long. Like, he says Oletre Long, all right, right? His name? Oletre Long. And then when they're like, okay, but say your nickname. The Mongolian murderer. It's like, oh, fuck that. This is a banger, right? He debuted against Jeff Molina. Jeff Molina and him went the fucking war. Banging on the feet. He dropped Jeff. He got dropped. Then he went in with a little somebody different. Cody Durden is a good grappler. Cody decisioned him. Knocked out Kevin Else and the decision Jay Perrin. Both those wins are not aging great. And then was doing okay in the Almond Zahabi fight, was just being ultra aggressive and just got caught and got put out. You know, 24-11, extensive experience. Chinese fighter who, a lot of those records, 24-11 for any Asian fighter, I would say might be a little dicey. I mean, you got to really dig into those 24 wins, right? He's got two wins in the UFC, so that's, you know, you're giving him Johnny Munoz here. Johnny Munoz, every time this guy fights, I want him to do more, you know? I'm expecting to do more, and he just kind of doesn't, right? I think he's the win here. I got him winning this fight. Minus 105, this is a pick'em fight. I like Johnny Munoz here. I like him at the pick'em price. Probably by decision, if I had to guess, which I don't guess. I know, and we bet, baby. I got the fucking computer right in front of me. Let's go. What is it by decision? You should have this pre-planned, Brian. You're rusty. All right, so Johnny Munoz. So over 2.5 is minus 120, which is kind of low for me. I know Oletre Long, so the prop for the anything else is not up yet. Dead even on the money line, over 2.5 is minus 120. I like over 2.5. I like Johnny Munoz to win by decision as well. I just think Oletre Long is tough. He's got a good chin, but I just think grappling-wise and in overall MMA game, I think Munoz can really stretch us out. I mean, he could get slept. You know, he could get caught, get slept by Oletre Long. He is the Mongolian murderer. However, I'm going to go with Johnny Munoz here. Low number, pick him price, like it. Like Munoz by decision. Over 2.5 is a minus 120. I like all those things. Throw them all together. Mix them in a blender. Let's fucking go. All right, next up, Kanako Murata, which I think I fucking nailed her name. She is a dicey favorite here at minus 325 versus this. I can't pronounce her name. I can't pronounce this woman's name. Heidi has sent me the file for her because I make myself embarrassed when I do this. Vanessa Dimopoulos. Why can't I say this name? Vanessa Dimopoulos. Fuck! What is wrong with me? It's not a bit. People think I'm fucking around. It's not a bit. I actually corrected someone at work today because they said a fighter's name wrong. I said, no. It's Saeed, not said. Saeed. And I can't pronounce Vima Dimopoulos. I can't fucking. I'm going to go Vanessa. Sorry. Anyway, this fight to me is cut and dry. No chicks. Murata, stud. She's a stud. She's up there. You know, she's 30 years old, kind of just now cracking the UFC. Really just one fight against Vina Jane Ojoba. She got her arm hurt or something in that fight, competitive fight. She is a grappler. Several submissions on a record. Oh, excuse me. She has a win over Randa Marcos as well. Good grappler. 5-1 arisen. Currently 1-1 in the UFC, 4 wins by submission, 6 wins by decision. I think she's going to get Vanessa out of there. I think she's going to submit her. I think, you know, coming off the injury and being this high of a favorite, right, in a kind of a wide open 115 where a good grappler can make some noise, and she is definitely a good grappler. She had a tough time against Vina Jandaroba because Jandaroba is a fucking stud grappler with, like, the dopest bowl cut or the hair Jandaroba has. I mean, come on. You can't beat that, right? And Vanessa's scrappy, right? She's been around for a while, so she's scrappy, but I just think if it hits the ground, Murata's going to, take advantage of that. I like submission here as well. The prop is not available. I just looked. Might do over-under. I'm going to go Murata by submission. She is pretty hard. Throw her in the I Know Chicks parlay. So we got two. We got De La Rosa. We got Murata. I Know Chicks. They're already in the parlay right now. But I like her by submission, right? This was almost going to be my send them home. But since she's coming off an injury and everything like that, I'm like, eh, let's, you know, she doesn't have a submission win in the UFC yet. Let's see what she has. But I think that's a good play here. If you don't want to touch this high money line, very high money line for someone who's 1-1 in the UFC, talented, but I like Murata by submission here. Armbar. I'm going to call my shot. Armbar. All right, up Nate Maness. He is, where you at, Nate? Plus 195 versus Mateus Mendoca. He is a minus 238 favorite. This fight is going to be a scrap, boys. A scrap, boys. For Mendoca, debut in the UFC on the Contender Series, won by crazy knockout hammer fist. Dana jumped up. Everyone's like, holy shit. Then he gets in the UFC, and he goes against Javid Basharat, who I think the Basharat brothers are fucking studs, right? No shame in losing that. Very competitive fight. It was a fun fight. Dropped the decision, Javid Basharat. Castaneda was supposed to be a fight that he was supposed to have outside of that. But you look at his record. Again, we got to look at the Brazilians' records because, again, there's so many promotions down in Brazil. Brazil's a giant country, and a lot of times these guys are fighting fucking cab drivers and they're fighting, you know, guys that work at gas stations. So you got 2-0 his debut, 3-0 triangle choke, both submissions, oddly. And then 3-4, 1-2, 7-1, good record. Paulo Henrique Rodriguez, 4-1 armbar, good record. Victor Nato, 0-0, knocked him out in round one. Pedro Nobre, a veteran, 21-5-2 decision. And then the gentleman he beat on the Contender Series has yet to win. He got knocked out at CFFC as well. So, and he got Nate Maness, old Kentucky country boy, Henderson, Kentucky. You know what I mean? He's nice guy, submission fighting down there, old Henderson, Kentucky. Nate confuses me because I remember when he got signed to the UFC, it was shortly after his fight with Taylor Lupus, and he lost by a sidekick. It was a dope knockout on Taylor's part. But Nate, before that, showed some, like, real chops. I think it was undefeated. I think that was his first fight. Then he beats Kellen Van Camp, who's another local guy around here, who him and his brother are very good. Then he debuts against Johnny Munoz, wins, beats Luke Sanders, and then beats Tony Gravely, which has been kind of like his calling card. He got his jaw broke against Gravely. Should have been put out in the first round. I mean, that first round was absolutely fucking brutal, right? Should have put out in that first round. Comes back, and in the second round with a broken jaw, brain scrambled, but scrambled eggs up there, and he gets a knockout over a guy like Tony Gravely, who, again, a little bit of a chin issue, but is a good fighter, right? Luke Sanders no longer in the promotion. Johnny Munoz, again, he's fighting on this card, up and down UFC career. And then he goes against Umar Nurmagomedov and against Tagir Ulanbekov. Umar got decision, looked pretty good against that stud, and then got choked out by Tagir. That's kind of his thing there. Man, this is tough because I like Mendoca. Mendoca is a wild, wild guy, but you're hanging plus 195. I mean, let me see if the line has moved at all. Yeah, so Nate Maness is at plus 205 now currently. I can't put minus 250 on Mendoca, even though he's the first round's going to be crazy and the over under is set at 2.5. The under 2.5 is minus 135. I think that's a good play as well. But I just think Nate, man, like, he's been in there. His two last losses have been against really good guys. I don't love him at 25, if I'm being honest with you. Is this fight at 125 or 135? This fight's at 125. That's a lot of weight to be cutting. I would prefer him at 35. But yeah, give me Nate Maness. You know what I mean? Give me Nate Maness as the underdog here.
Hello? Okay, this is dog.
Yeah, that's a dog. You need some dog shots in the card. You can't just pick all chalk. You can't be a little chalky bitch. You got to take some shots. And Nate Maness, I think, is durable and tough enough to maybe withstand that shit in the first round and come back and really implement his game. But Mendoca, man, he's a wild man. He can catch you all three rounds, with some of that shit that he's got. But give me Nate Maness, 2-1 underdog. I like it. I don't love it. That's just straight money line play. Even though if you want to avoid your boy and go, no, there ain't no way Nate Maness is winning that. Or if you're a fringe guy, you're like, I don't know, I don't have a good read on this fight. Just go under 2.5. I think if Mendoca wins, he'll win by knockout. And I think that's a good price too. Let's see if that line is available. It is not. Go fuck yourself. But yeah, give me Nate. Give me old Nate, man. That's old Henderson, Kentucky boy. Henderson, Kentucky boy. He's doing all right. All right, next up, we got Carolina Kovalevich versus Diana Belbita. Carolina is a -166 favorite, and Diana Belbita is a +140. Both these girls are very beautiful, very easy on the eyes. I remember Diana Belbita came on my radar because her and Ben Davis, shout out Ben Davis, the Bane, they would like a little flirty flirt on Twitter. And I mean, listen, I followed her because she's pretty and she's a UFC fighter. But her and Ben Davis were like, oh, little buddies. They're on Twitters. And Carolina's been just a fox forever. But Carolina's really, I thought she was done. I thought she was going to retire. And she's really put on a nice streak here. And really, not only is she winning fights, but she's looking rejuvenated and looking better. Diana Belbita coming off a loss. Let me check her record here. I believe it's a loss from my research. Coming off a win. My research is dog shit. Against Maria Oliveira by decision. Before that, Gloria DiPaolo by unanimous decision. She has lost by armbar to Luana Jojua, who's no longer in the UFC. But Diana is scrappy. She's good on the feet. She surprised me in her debut. She surprised me in some of her wins. But I think Carolina has been a striker majority of her career. And I think she's really become an MMA fighter in the years in the UFC. I think her takedowns will be there. I think heavy on top. Maybe could squeak out a submission. Don't love it. But give me Carolina Kovalevich. I know chicks.
Are talking like you know chicks. And I'm the one who knows chicks.
I know chicks, man. So that's Carolina Kovalevich. That's Montella De La Rosa. And that's Kanako Murata. I already placed a bet. I know chicks parlay +273. That's a gorgeous number. Hasn't won yet. One of these days I'm going to know chicks. But, you know, I know chicks. Soundbite one more time because I love it so much.
Are talking like you know chicks, and I'm the one who knows chicks.
There it is. Carolina Kovalevich. Next up, Felipe Lins. Minus, where are we at? +120, excuse me. Versus Ian Kutalaba. -142. Let's see if this is line moved at all. Again, I got these the other day, boys. Yeah, +124, -148. Felipe Lins, is still the dog here. So I can't get a Kutalaba fight right. The minute I think the guy's going to come in and gasp, you know, by getting his face Vaselined up, he goes out there and knocks people out, right? I know he's like, you know, trying to become a different fighter. He's working on his cardio. He's working on his aggression. His last time out just absolutely blitzkrieged and looked like a madman. Felipe Lins maybe has some of the most canceled fights in the UFC. Former heavyweight coming down to 205. He's looked okay. He's starting to put some stuff together here. A little bit of a boring fighter, for my opinion. Stays on the outside and then, yeah, okay, then we'll clinch. Stay on the outside and we'll clinch. He keeps like a certain pace that he wants to keep. And he's got a little pop to his punches, not like the craziest pop to the punches, but that worries me that the pace that he drags fighters into, you know, his pace is so worrisome. And I feel like Kutalaba is going to load up in fucking try to catch him and then get tired by doing that, right? And every time I see Kutalaba, by the way, I know he's Moldovan, he's Russian. But every time I see that name, it's for some reason, I think he's Brazilian. I literally almost led. I have the two flags right in front of me. I literally almost led this by going, now two Brazilians going at it. Kutalaba, probably because Curitiba, Brazil, or something like that. Why do I think this guy is Brazilian? Doesn't really matter. I don't love this fight. I have a bad read on this fight. When I do that, I go underdog usually. But I can't pick Felipe Lins because I think he's just a snooze fest. Felipe Lins by decision could be a good bet. Felipe Lins maybe by like second round TKO could be a good bet. Fuck all that noise. I'm going Kutalaba by knockout, bust. Send him home, baby. This is my send him home. I'm Kutalaba by knockout. I think he can clip him in the first round. I'll play him by knockout in first round. And then I'm not going to have a ton of skin in the game. Not playing size, not playing money line here. Give me an Ian Kutalaba to win by knockout. Again, this fight doesn't do it for me. You know what I mean? I just don't know what it is. But probably because I can't get him right. I'm wrong on the wrong side of both of them all the fucking time. So maybe that's why it doesn't do it for me. But Kutalaba can go out there and fucking, the guy eats nails, right? He could be fucking going out there and just get him out of the first round. All right, next up, Bill Algeo, who is a -135 favorite versus Alexander Hernandez, who was a +114. Let me double check. Yep, so Alex Hernandez is a +120, Bill Algeo -142. So I've been anti-Alex Hernandez, called him a fraud, dropped a hard F-bomb on him with a fraud alert when he knocked out Benny Dariush. He's back at 45 now. He thought maybe he was a little too muscly for 55. That's where he knocked out Benny. And he's had a really up and down career. They've tried to push him because he shit talked a little bit. Cowboy Cerrone embarrassed him, took his arm. Then he's gotten beat up before. You know, the Jim Miller fight, his last time out, I thought was probably his best performance, in my opinion, because that's a fight that he was streamlining to win. Jim Miller, an old dog, people are like, yeah, it's Jim Miller. He, you know, Jim Miller's Jim Miller. You know, he's not going to beat you, but he wins these fights, right? And he hung with Miller and never had a mental lapse, never gave up, never really broke in that fight. And landed some big shots and fought smart. That's what I want. You know, this guy's bounced around his camps. You know, he started in Texas. He's bounced to Colorado. He might be back in Texas. I'm not really sure. I don't give this guy a close follow on Instagram, so I'm not exactly sure. Don't love that the fight's at 45. Because I remember he popped a 45 and he hated it. And I guess he said the weight cut was bad and he's going back up to 45 now. So I'm not really sure what that's about. Either way, Bill Algeo, you know. Yeah, so, yeah, I don't know. This guy's been bouncing around weight classes. 45 is throwing me a pause here. Because this is a fight I picked on Anakin Florian. And it's a fight I picked Alex Hernandez. And I have him dog lock written down here. Because I don't have many dogs on the card. So I'm going to stick with that, right?
Hello? Okay, this is dog.
I'm going to stick with Hernandez as my dog lock. But secretly between you and me, as we're sitting here live, I fucking hate it. 45, maybe he's like, I got the weight cut dialed in now. Because Algeo, even though Algeo doesn't have a lot of pop on his punches, he's good on the ground. He's going to put a fucking pace on you. Pressure, long-range weapons. Dude doesn't get tired, right? Hernandez has got to hit him a couple times to really try to get this guy to back off. But Bill, Philly tough, he's not going to go away, right? This dude is a scrapper. And I can see this fight slowly getting away from Alex in that third round if the cardio doesn't hold up. Again, this cut to 145 when he looked so good against Jim Miller at 155. You know, I don't know what that's about. I should have done better research when I did the Anakin Florian. Shoot me. But I can't switch picks. That's sacrilegious. You can't do that. I've done it before, and I've been embarrassed. I'm not going to do that now. Dog locked Alex Hernandez, but I'm telling the people that listen, I'm telling the people that watch, run away from it. I'm not changing. I'm going to bet it because I'm an idiot and I didn't do the proper research. So for gambling karma, I'm good to bet it. And if it wins, I won't celebrate. I'm not going to tweet out, hey, hit my dog log. No, because I hate it, right? I hate it. So I'm going to go Alex Hernandez, dog lock, no finish, money line only. +120, excuse me. Bill Algeo on the flip side by decision. Might be some good money right there. All right, next up, Drew Dober. He is a -470 versus not Rick, not Richard, Ricky. You had that Y, motherfucker. Ricky Glenn. +360. Line is wide, right? Really wide. Another fight I broke down, the Anakin Florian. Name drop, shout out me. But the one point I want to make in this fight is I got Dober. Okay, I got Dober. I just don't think Ricky Glenn has enough firepower, and he got knocked out his last time out, and Dober's coming off a knockout as well, so I think he's going to be a little angry here. Dober's obviously fought the better competition. I think he's going to be the better fighter in there who can mix things up. Ricky Glenn is tricky off his back. He does have some submissions, but I just think Dober, he's going to take a little minute to get through that distance, that length, and he's going to find him. But you look at Dober's last, what is that, 6 fights, I guess? Islam fight, you know, didn't really take much damage. Islam took him down, submitted him in the third round. Then you go to the Brad Riddell fight, took a ton of damage, got dropped in that fight, lost a decision, a war. Look at the Terrence McKinney fight, got dropped again, almost got put out, came back and won by knockout. Rafael Alves fight, took bombs by Alves. Bombs from Baghdad on Alves. Knocked him out in the third round. Bobby Green, another fight where he took some tremendous damage. Bobby hurt him, came back and beat Bobby. Then you get Matt Frivola coming off a knockout of Frivola in the first round where he just couldn't find his timing and he was so confident his chin, he just fucking ran into a steamroller right hand, which you just can't fucking do. And then you got Ricky Glenn coming off a knockout loss to Cristian Llagos. Before that, Joaquin Silva, he knocked him out in the first round with a sneaky left hook. Ricky Glenn, I think, kind of, I don't know if he blew his UFC career. He's getting older now. Came over from World Series of Fighting. And this guy could have laundry list of injuries. I don't know. I just feel like he should have been fighting more. He's been in UFC since 2016. This is only his 9th fight. I don't think that's a great track record fighting. He's fighting once, maybe twice a year since he's been there. I like to see it a little more for a fringe contender, a fringe top 15 kind of guy. This obviously could be the biggest win in his career. Can he pick Ricky Glenn? Which I think is a smart play. If you're going numbers, you're going value, you want to put your dick on the table and go, hey, you know, I like three, four, almost four to ones. Ricky Glenn's a good choice here because Drew Dober, again, is he getting better? Is he just going to rely on his chin? Does he think the Frivola thing was a fluke? What's his mindset at right now? Because if he doesn't come in a little change fighter here, maybe defensively more sound, I think Ricky Glenn could tee off on him. He looked at the Gavin Tucker fight, beat the piss out of Gavin Tucker. You know, that could happen here against Drew Dober. But I'm going to go Dober. I'm not putting him in any parlay. I'm not touching this fight. I'm going to bet this fight. I'm telling you I'm betting it. I just don't know how yet. I got to figure that out. I don't know how. Am I going to go Dober by knockout, which I think won't be that great of a number? Ricky Glenn by the decision. I'm going to go value play here. Don't really care about the, you know, whatever. I'm going to pick Dober. I think he could probably get Ricky Glenn out maybe in the first round as well, as long as he starts hot. Sometimes Dober, though, kind of eases into a fight and Ricky is a little bit longer. So maybe second round KO is another nice option there. I can just keep naming all the ways that he's going to win. And then if it wins, I go, I hit it like a fucking asshole. I like Dober. I like Dober. Don't know how the finish is going to happen yet. All right, my favorite fight in the card, Alex Morono, plus 160 versus Joaquin Buckley. What's the quickest name in the world? That just sounds like, if your name's Joaquin, you're just quick, right? That's a quick name. What, minus 192 for Joaquin. So I was chatting with Chris Curtis via the interwebs. And we were just talking about life and stuff. And he's got a baby on the way. And I reached out to him because he tweeted out about how the rib injury made him take an extended break, which the guy lives in the gym. He never does. And it was a great reset for him and yada, yada. And he tweeted out and he said to me too, he said the Joaquin Buckley fight, Joaquin was probably the best striker he's ever fought. And Chris is obviously a good striker. He knocked out Joaquin. But Joaquin was so fast. They had trained together a little bit in the past. And then they brought in people, Eric Nixick and everybody. They paired up Chris with people who were going to equal Joaquin's speed. And Chris was like, it was nowhere near it. Like, Joaquin was just different fast. Now he's down to 170. Made his 170 debut against Andre Firdo. Let's not get crazy because Firdo's on four KO loss. And then you got Morono, who I criminally underrate Alex Morono. He's a great fighter, mental for the game, phenomenal, skills to pay the bills. His body's not great, but he's tough. Chin, a little bit of an issue. He's been knocked out before. He's been put down before, but he can crack. He's awkward. His strikes come from awkward ranges. So we got two guys here who are kind of different in all the ways. You got a Jack Black dude, right? You got kind of a bag of milk white dude. Buckley is really clean and fast with his strikes. Morono might have a little speed, but he's awkward with his strikes. But Morono is just so well-rounded, man. The choke of Tim Means really impressed me. He's come back from losses before, especially knockout losses. Santiago Ponzinibbio, a fight he was winning, got knocked out. I was there in December. Rebounded that after that really well. I mean, he's been knocked down, and he's gotten back up, which I love. Earlier in the week, I was all over Joaquin Buckley. I still am. Joaquin Buckley
is my mortal lock. No doubt about it.
Joaquin Buckley. This is a fight that scares me the most. So I got to dive in. It's Halloween. It's Spooktober, bitch. Right? This is a haunted house fight to me. I got to dive in. I can't be hiding behind my wife. I got to go what's scaring me. This fight scares me. I have such a strong lean Joaquin Buckley that I feel like he's going to get it done. I feel like he's going to win by knockout. I'm not going to jump in the props. I am going to slime him up, though. Slime ball parlay, candidate number one, Joaquin Buckley. It scares me because I typically don't like chinny fighters to cut weight. But he looked great physically at 170 when he fought Fiajo. Again, it's Fiajo. And Alex Morono is a sneaky good guy that, again, people overlook, including me. I think I even tweeted out against Tim Means or maybe a couple fights before that. I was like, I got to quit sleeping on Alex Morono. Next time he fights, I'm not going to pick against him. I said something along those lines. And here I am, dumb Brian, fucking picking against him, right? I'm going Joaquin Buckley. I'm locking him up. I'm going to what scares me here. I put extra units on it on the Anakin Florian show. That scares me now because again, I'm flipping back and forth. Maybe it's the week off, the rustiness, and why I'm being such a indecisive little bitch. But anyway, Joaquin Buckley probably by knockout. But I don't know if I'm going to get there. I just like him. Maybe, you know, I'm going to be nervous during this fight. So I think I'm just going to be money line. That's what it is. All right. Co-main event, B. Joe Pyfer -455 versus Abdul Razak Al-Hassan. Let me see if this line is the same because I think this is moving. 410. Okay. Yeah. So it's moved down a little bit. Joe Pyfer, I got him at 455. He's 410 now. B. Joe Pyfer, man. So I want to hate on this guy. His nickname's Body Bags. You got to change it to B. B. Joe Pyfer. Has to be it. We discussed something in Florian. John Anik is a wizard. Cody's very good too with nicknames. We got to get this guy to be Joe Pyfer. He's looked untouchable in the UFC so far. I like what he did. He beat GM3, right? Which was his biggest test. You know, Gerald's great. Beat him, knocked him out. And then they grappled, which is something that we haven't seen Pyfer do. He grapples outside the UFC, beat Mirshad in grappling. Abdulrazak Al-Hassan, this dude's a judo player to an extent, but he likes to throw bombs in there. You know, this is a former 170, now at 85. Pyfer's going to be much larger than this guy. I mean, Al-Hassan's a thick dude, don't get me wrong, but height-wise, just overall physical size, Pyfer's going to be the guy here. I don't think he's going to get bullied by Al-Hassan. I don't think he's going to take him down. Kind of worried about what we got Joe Pyfer chin. Is Joe Pyfer got a chin? Does he have defense? Is he going to see these shots? Because Al-Hassan can put down a fucking horse, my guy. I mean, he'll clip you. You're done, right? Pyfer's ultra aggressive. Hopefully he comes in with a little bit of a more patience approach to this fight because I like him. He's a high number. Slime ball candidate number two there on Joey P. B. Joe Pyfer. I don't know how he's going to win. Maybe by knockout. Al-Hassan's been knocked out before. I mean, Chaos Williams deaded him. That could happen. Pyfer does have some overwhelming strength. I like maybe Pyfer to work this to the ground as well. Al-Hassan, even though he has that judo background, is a fucking dead fish on his back. Just fucking lays there, right? Pyfer working the grappling, bigger guy. I think he comes from a jiu-jitsu school. I'm not really sure over there in Philly. But give me Joe Pyfer. Be Joe Pyfer. Be the guy. This is almost my send home as well. I do think Joe Pyfer will get some kind of finish in this fight. Albeit knockout or on the ground TKO or even submission. You know, let's get wild and play Joe Pyfer by submission. Let's see what that is. Let's see what the price is on that. Joe Pyfer by submission, +550. Him to win by knockout, -175, which is an okay value piece. But man, Joe Pyfer by submission, +550. You heard it here first, man. He's working his grappling. Al-Hassan does nothing on the ground. Has Al-Hassan ever been submitted, though? That's the question. He has not. He has never been submitted. So, we'll see. But he hasn't really fought anybody that's really going to take him down. I mean, Manar Lazette's not going to fucking take him down. Chaos Williams, you know, Jacob Malkoon took him down like 20 times. DiCicco, he won by head kick. Joaquin Buckley, split decision. Claudio Ribeiro knocked out in the second round. Ribeiro went for those takedowns. Charlie Ward, you knocked him out in round one. So, not a lot of guys that are going to really take him down. Joe Pyfer by submission. Lock it up. Lock it up. I'm throwing that in there. Add to the card. Joe Pyfer submission, +550. Let's fucking go. All right, main event time. Fight that I see people a little lukewarm about, not super happy about. I don't mind it. Grant Dawson versus Bobby Green. Grant Dawson, a guy, again, like Morono, I have criminally underrated. Thought he's a one-trick pony. He's with the American Top Team. Cardio, elite, grappling. I wouldn't say it's elite, but it's getting there. He's a specialist, and everyone knows what he's going to do, and no one can stop it. Bobby Green's going to be frisky in that round one. Bobby Green keeps his hands low. His strikes come from weird angles. He's got a little more pop than people give him credit for. So I think he can give Dawson some problems on the feet in the beginning, but once Dawson finds that timing and gets a leg and he holds on to that like a dog on a bone, he's going to take the fight to the ground. Grant Dawson, by the way, I jumped right in. -425, Bobby Green +300. Value on Bobby Green. Again, a tremendous value on Bobby Green. Been around longer, fought elite guys, been in there with Islam. I just really favor Grant Dawson here because of the style, the eliteness to it. Bobby Green has good takedown offense, but when he gets taken down, he doesn't do a whole lot when he gets taken down. He's not like this sharp off his back. Tries to work to his feet. 5 rounds. I want to see the cardio. This is a huge test for Grant Dawson because Bobby can fuck up your night. You know, Bobby can really fuck up your night. by stuffing your takedowns and punishing you to the body and to the head. He has good cardio himself. He's a smart fighter, been around forever. I mean, 34-1. I mean, the value is on Bobby Green, but I just have faded Grant Dawson, and I've lost so much money on Grant Dawson. I am completely switching sides. Now, you're probably wondering, BP. Oh, by the way, that's Slime Cannon number 3. Slime Ball Parlay is going to be Grant Dawson, Joe Pyfer, and Joaquin Buckley at +145. We're not getting crazy. We're trying to get a win here. Two heavy favorites, plus another, well, three kind of heavy favorites, but that's a parlay. Joaquin Buckley, Joe Pyfer, Grant Dawson, +145. Go bet that right now on DK Sportsbook. DraftKings Sportsbook. All right, so you're probably one BP. Where's the green hammer? So I teased it on social media, took a picture of a change jar that said props on it, right? So I want to shout out Alex from Mako Tools, because I made a video yesterday, which I'm an idiot, got excited. I want to shout out Alex from Mako Tools. Now, if you're audio only, you should be able to hear the audio, but run. I'm going to post this on social media probably on Thursday or Friday, but run to YouTube to catch this, because your boy's got something here. So my Green Hammer play, introducing the new Green Hammer. Boys, I've been letting you down. This is the fourth quarter of 2023. This little limp dick Green Hammer ain't cutting it. Look at this thing. This is for a baby. We're done with it, okay? Ooh, I got the monster now, baby. This is a hard dick Green Hammer. And guess what, baby? Over the top Stallone, we're coming for props.
Look at this thing, baby! Ooh,
this is a fucking Green Hammer right here. I was embarrassed I had that little one before. This is what we're talking about right here. Green Hammer. We're coming out swinging. No more over, under 1.5. Grant Dawson by submission +120. That's a multi-unit prop play I'm giving you, right? Green Hammer it, smash it the fuck up. Grant Dawson by submission +120. Woo! I could have played it safe. I could have went, you know, Montana JJ over 2.5, which is like -470 or something. No! Grant Dawson, submission +120. The new Green Hammer has spoken, baby. Yeah. If you are audio and you're not going to go to YouTube, basically what I did was in my garage, we have a chain jar. Wrote props on it, did the whole little spiel, took the new hammer, smashed the change jar, right? Wife was filming. I had no eye protection on. I was wearing Crocs, got a couple cuts in the bottom of my foot. Glass flew in my hoodie, flew in my shoes. Lucky the kids were okay. They insisted on being in the garage. We kept them by the door behind my wife. They're safe. Do not call child services on us. But yeah, I had to do something goofy with this green hammer. Shout out Alex Mako Tool for sending me the green hammer, man. I mean, the other one was like a pound or something. I bought myself off of Amazon. This one's like 6 pounds. I mean, you saw it, dude. This is a dude. Look at this fucking thing, man. Ready to smash some props. All right, that's it. That's the show. Follow me, Brian Petrie, MMA, on all social medias. Hit that fucking subscribe button, baby. We're back. We got a nice little run of fights here. Let's win all the bets this weekend. I think that's it. Thank you for watching, for always watching. Hit that subscribe button, man. Let's go.
Let's make some picks with our man Brian Petrie. Good. Motherfuckers. Perfect week for Brian Petrie yet again. Motherfuckers. Good. Let's make some picks with our man Brian Petrie.